Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're closing in on just 3 days away from Conference Championship Sunday in the NFL. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Welcome on to the show, our buddy Albert Breer from the MMQB and SI. Albert, how much of a chance should we be giving the Jaguars to knock off the New England Patriots this weekend?
I don't think much. Look, they've had a great year. And I think if you took Kirk Cousins and you inserted him into the Jaguars lineup, then they have a real chance to beat New England. And I think the defense really does have a shot to slow Tom Brady and the Patriots offense down. They have the formula that teams that have done it in the past have, which is you can get to the quarterback with four guys and you've got cover guys in the back end. The problem is that I don't think you're going to shut down Tom Brady and the Patriots offense completely. And I'm just not sure that they're going to be able to score with them. And, a big part of that, of course, is, the offenses that are able to move the ball in the Patriots typically are balanced, and the Jaguars lack that.
Albert, the new paradigm seems to be with Foles and Keenum and Bortles, and obviously Brady would be the exception to this. All a team needs to have is a mediocre journeyman quarterback, and they get to play in the conference finals. It just seems a little silly, I would say Denver says hello, as do, the Chicago Bears and, Arizona once Palmer gets hurt. People are forgetting how hard it is to team build at this stage, and you can do it if you get a whole bunch of pieces right. Do you think this will change any kind of paradigms, though, for front offices, or is it still going to be business as usual, desperation for quarterback?
No, I still think that that's the easiest way to get there. And look, Case Keenum has played great, okay? And the Eagles weren't the number one seed in the NFC because they got by a quarterback. They had an MVP candidate for the majority of the year, and that's why they were the number one seed in the NFC. And all it took for them to get here was to beat a dome team in January at home. I don't know that those two are the best examples. The Jaguars are a good example. The Jaguars are a good example of a team that has been strong enough everywhere else and has built the right environment around a mediocre quarterback to get there. And so I think you can do it. And I think Denver 3 years ago, despite the fact that the guy playing quarterback wore number 18 and had Manning on the back of his jersey, Denver did do it 3 years ago. It's hard for me to see where you're able to be consistently successful at the highest level without one. And so I think the best way to put it, and I think it was GM and the director of player personnel, someone like that, said this to me a couple of years ago. If you don't have one, you don't have an established quarterback, then you have to be just about perfect everywhere else. And that's what it takes. And what you see here is, very well-rounded Minnesota team that got lightning in the bottle with Case Keenum. You see a Philadelphia team that got here with a great quarterback that doesn't have its great quarterback anymore. And then I think Jacksonville would be a legitimate example of if you're really great everywhere else, way to get there.
Albert Breer on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. You can read his work at the MMQBs on Twitter, at Albert Breer. As far as the NFC title game, we've kind of alluded to it, but to get your thoughts on the game, Eagles are at home. That's a tough place to win. But the storyline here is that Minnesota's got a chance to be the first ever team to host a Super Bowl game. We're a game away from that. That would be one of the more fascinating things I think I've ever seen in sports.
Yeah, it would be. And obviously, I think anybody who's been to the Super Bowl knows this. It's generally not that type of atmosphere. Now, there have been a couple exceptions. I remember the game in Dallas in 2010, and because it was the Steelers and the Packers, there was actually a decent presence of actual people from the cities of the teams in the stands. But for the most part, you know, over the course of the time I've been going to the Super Bowls, and I know from people who have gone to these games for longer than I have, it's a pretty corporate button-down environment. And so it'll be interesting to see how having a team, and it would be interesting to see how having a home team in the game would affect that. You know, obviously I think it would affect the secondary market. There'd be people paying through the nose for tickets who don't have to worry about hotel rooms and flights and all that different stuff that most fans going to Super Bowls have to worry about. And then, you know, I'd assume there'd be a lot of the sponsors and a lot of the corporate people who are there already would probably be Minnesota fans. And so I think it'd certainly be interesting. And, I don't know how much it would affect the game, but I do know that for a new stadium, that's a pretty loud place and was a pretty loud place, you know, last week. And so I certainly think it would be a different dynamic. And the trickle-down, of course, I think would be all over the place. It wouldn't just be, you know, what it feels like in the stadium on game day.
You got to follow Albert Breer, at Albert Breer. Great NFL information and the occasional bit of Ohio State Big Ten propaganda, but we forgive you, my friend, for all of that. Let's go into the...
You guys are in Big Ten country now, too.
Yeah.
This is a good point.
It still annoys
Danny that we are, for the record, as a Maryland fan.
It really does. Both my parents went to Maryland, and Maryland didn't like Maryland, so they wanted to be something else, and they went to the Big Ten, just to be cannon fodder for you guys. But, Albert, I want to ask you about the Patriots. Why are the assistants leaving now? It's hard not to look at and see some of the smoke with that lengthy background story and everything that happened about some of the acrimony with the trainer or whatever. It's hard not to kind of start doing an equation there when you look up and see these assistants now bolting for jobs when they've been probably the hot commodities over the last several years, right? Why now?
No, I understand what you're saying. I still think that this is more about the two individuals and the spots that they were in. I'd compare Matt Patricia a little bit to where Charlie Weiss or Romeo Crennel were in 2005, where, you know, when those two guys kept knocking on the door and they kept coming up short. And, you know, there were obviously questions about their appearance and whether or not they really could command a room like a head coach needs to and that sort of stuff. And so I remember for those two, it was sort of, well, when I do get a shot, I'm going to take it, you know, because they gotten to that point of frustration. I think with Patricia, there's a little bit of that at work, and that he's done a pretty good job for a while in New England. And, of course, coaching on the defensive side of the ball in New England, the question is always going to be, where does Belichick stop and where do you start? You know, how do you separate one guy's work from the other guy's work? And so with Matt, I think it was just, you know, kind of a confluence of maybe a little frustration over not getting more interest the last few years, plus, like, having a perfect situation pop up where there's a quarterback and a GM you know. For Josh, I think it was a little bit more, I have to do it now. You know, there was a time 2-3 years ago where he wanted to be selective, and I think what he learned was most of these situations aren't going to be perfect. They wouldn't be open if they were perfect. And then last year he came so close to taking that San Francisco job. I mean, literally, like, measuring the office, you know. And he backed out at the last second. And I think that going into this year, he knew this has got to be my year. I have to do it now. I've waited long enough. And to that end, he built a relationship with Chris Ballard, which, you know, certainly I think paid off for both guys in the end. And so I think these guys both had their own personal circumstances. That said, I do think that there's an element in that building where I think there are a lot of people there who aren't sure they want to be there to see what it looks like post Brady Belichick.
Assuming Kirk Cousins is not back, which for the first time in this entire saga is what I'm predicting and kind of how I see this thing playing out now, what do you think the Redskins do at quarterback this offseason?
I think there's a real possibility they try to pull both levers and bring in a veteran and then back him up with a rookie. Now, based on where they're drafting, I think it's somewhere in the teens, right?
13,
okay. So, you know, you could conceivably make a move up the board, and we've seen teams do that over the last few years. Remember, the last six quarterbacks to go in the first round, and the three of them in 2016, three of them in 2017, all those guys were the subject of trades up, you know? And so we've seen this over the last few years, and I certainly think that that will be something that they would look at if the four guys who are the presumed first rounders come off the board quickly. And I think you also are looking at a veteran market where there are going to be some options, some better options than there have been in the last few years. You can go down the list there. Drew Brees is an obvious one who has a freeway to the market now. They can't stop him from getting to the market if he wants to get there. Alex Smith potentially could be available. And so I think you're probably looking now at, you know, maybe bringing in a veteran and having him play like the stopgap role like Mike Glennon did in Chicago, with the idea that we're going to go all in with a rookie to back him up. And, hey, maybe they've got enough confidence in Colt McCoy to be that guy. That remains to be seen.
Albert, awesome with us as always, buddy. Enjoy championship weekend, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you. There's Albert Breer. Check him out on Twitter at Albert Breer and, of course, in the MMQB Sports Illustrated site, which provides his quality NFL content pages, as you're going to find on the internet. Mel Kiper says the Redskins are going to go the route of a rookie quarterback. He says at number 13, they're going to draft one of the most popular quarterbacks in college football this year. We'll tell you who next. We'll give you our thoughts on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Grant and Danny on The Fan. At 11:45, we'll give you a double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Mel Kiper's new mock draft came out today. At number 13 overall, when the Washington Redskins are on the clock, the pick is in. It's being walked up to the podium. The announcement's ready to be made. With the 13th pick in the 2018 NFL draft, the Washington Redskins select Baker Mayfield, Heisman Trophy winner, Oklahoma. Mel Kiper has the Redskins taking Baker Mayfield.
How about no? It's that. By the way, this is what's getting mocked. Bleacher Report had it. The Redskins themselves tweeted about it.
This is everywhere, all over the place.
It's all over the place.
Here's why. It looks like Kirk Cousins is not coming back. Start there. If you do not have a quarterback on a binary one or zero, you have one or you're looking for your one. Well, they're looking for their number one.
They're searching.
So this is where we are. It means that in the first round, quarterback is in play. At 13, who's going to be off the board? Josh Rosen will be long gone. Sam Darnold will be gone. Presumably, Josh Allen will be gone by 13, I would think.
Someone's going to do it. Somebody's going to do that.
But maybe he's not. I think Baker Mayfield is a Jay Gruden kind of guy, more so than even a Josh Allen. I think of Jay's personality as kind of a shooting from the hip, and the quarterbacking term that gets overused is gunslinger, but everything just kind of goes right off my back like it didn't happen. I don't really care what people say. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to shoot my shot. That's Jay Gruden. That is not Kirk Cousins, by the way. Kirk Cousins is going to rent a home for multiple years rather than buy. Kirk Cousins, when he buys his house, is going to do more research on purchasing that house than anyone's ever done before.
He's going to get a second opinion on the home inspection tour.
Kirk Cousins is going to see it to believe it and then see it a second and a third time and go back to his notes, which he's kept from Michigan State, about the last time he was in that situation and that defense against that look. Jay Gruden is a, hey, just kind of throw the ball out there, see what happens, man, kind of guy. You know who else is that kind of guy? Colt McCoy. And it's why, from a personality standpoint, Jay and Colt, I think, get along pretty well. Jay likes Colt more than most coaches would, and he should probably. But I also get, and I don't know the guy personally at all, obviously, that vibe from Baker Mayfield.
They're the same player, by the way.
Shucking and jiving, undersized, throw the ball up for grabs. I'm just out here trying to make a play, and I'm going to get in your face and scream. To me, that's what like Jay Gruden was in the Arena Football League.
There, if I have a comp for Baker Mayfield, it's Colt McCoy, just as you touched on. Undersized, can't really see over the defense. Has to make a couple plays with his feet here and there. You're going to get into trouble. He's going to get hit a bunch. He's going to have back-breaking turnovers. He's going to exasperate you, but make enough highlight plays where you're tricked into thinking this is legitimate. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. At all. Zero. Zero interest.
I don't want to do this either. on a yes or no Scantron I've got to fill out with a bunch of quarterback options. When I get to the Baker Mayfield question, I'm filling out no. I am not as 100% adamant against Baker Mayfield as a pick at 13 as you might think I am, though, to be honest with you. Because if you get to the draft and you're considering a quarterback in the first round, it means Kirk Cousins is not on your roster. I know that I will not win with Colt McCoy. Could I build up a defense and maybe Case Keenum or Blake Bortles my way to 9-7? Maybe. I think if you have five seasons from Colt McCoy, you might be able to get to 9-7 one time, something like that.
If everything works out perfect.
Absolutely. You got to be almost perfect around him, which I don't have faith that they would be able to build it that way. I also think about Colt McCoy. He will get hurt. He always has gotten hurt. He is not big enough. He takes on too much contact because he holds the ball too long. He moves around and takes shots. He will get hurt. And so your backup will play soon into the 2018 season, which is why I am not opposed, if you lose Cousins, to drafting a quarterback early. I would rather draft another quarterback than Baker Mayfield. The only guy I like less than him, well, I shouldn't say that. One guy I like him more than, I'll put it that way, is Lamar Jackson. I have no interest in Lamar Jackson. Zero, none, 0.00%. I like Rosen more than Mayfield. I like Darnold more than Mayfield. I think I like Josh Allen, who stunk in college, more than Mayfield, just because he's a big body with a big arm. And that's kind of what I look for. Mm-hmm. He may be awful. I've seen next to zero of Josh Allen, for the record.
Yeah, I saw like an on-the-run throw that was incredible, and I saw him like miss one of those bubble screens where he threw it Jay Schrader style into the stands.
But unlike you, I'm not absolutely 100% opposed to drafting Baker Mayfield at 13. Here is my take, though. I definitely think this is a viable possibility. I definitely think this could happen, and I will be surprised if Cousins leaves and they don't sign a free agent, because what I'm doing is going and getting a free agent or trading for someone. My number one priority at quarterback's Alex Smith. Number two is one of the Minnesota Vikings. Whether that's I think Keenum stays because he'd be my number one of those three.
Either a Bridgewater or Bradford coming?
Absolutely. So I'm bringing in Bradford likely, speaking of injury-prone guys, and Colt McCoy, get ready to saddle up because you're in next. Or Teddy Bridgewater, who I like a little bit less than Bradford, but I would take Teddy Bridgewater. Somebody like that. Mm-hmm. That's my plan. If they don't do that after Cousins leaves and they get to the draft, my bet that I would put money on is Baker Mayfield at 13. Because as I've said for a couple months, this is about the business. This is not about the football part of the Washington Redskins. They have to sell something, and I promise you this fan base will get behind Baker Mayfield.
So do you agree with me? It leads me to my point that I was going to make. I think there are two columns. I think there is a football operation column. And the football operation column, football operational people have ideas about how to build this team. We all know the defense needs work. We know the receiver position needs work. We know the running back position needs work, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The football operational people will have a solution. The business side has Baker Mayfield. The business side looks at flagging attendance, looks at TV ratings where they finished third place in their own home market behind Pittsburgh, behind Dallas, barely beat Philadelphia on a national TV window. They look at that. They're flagging public perception, and they need the new toy. It's every year, as the stink of the past season washes away, usually around February when the season ticket renewal stuff goes out, it's the big shiny new toy, be it the new head coach, be it the new quarterback and Donovan McNabb, whatever the hell it is. The big move to get you excited again, to get you back in as your emotions have kind of dissipated. They always wait for the right time to make your big splash. There's your splash. Do you think this is purely a, I don't say purely, but close to a football decision, a correct one, which is drafting the best defensive player available, or a business decision, which is we got to sell some
tickets? Oh, this is 1,000% a business thing. Now, it could work out because he's one of the best quarterbacks in the country, and maybe he turns out to be pretty good. I don't think he's Johnny Manziel. I hear that comp. I don't believe that. I think he's better football player than Manziel.
I think he's closer to Manziel. If there's a spectrum, I think he's closer to Manziel than he is to say, I don't know, you could pick your
I'll
great
give
prospect.
The best version of like what he'd have to be in the league is Russell Wilson. So the spectrum would be far right is Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. Far left is Manziel. I think he's probably a tick past the middle toward Manziel, I guess. Like, he's right smack dab in the middle of those two guys.
Yeah, I'd say he's closer to Manziel. Some of the off-field stuff, whether it be crotch grabbing, flag planting, a bunch of different things.
He's
I'm a cowboy, woo! Like, is it a Kid Rock concert?
He's a Barstool bro.
Yeah.
You know, he is a Brad for sure, but he's not Johnny Manziel from a football standpoint. I think he's better from a pro prospect evaluation than Johnny Manziel. I would still not like it because I think there's just so many better ways to go. Get yourself a veteran, build that defense. And you could say, well, they could spend on the defense. They could draft heavily second, third, fourth round on the defense. The best way to improve your defense this year is with that 13th overall pick being an animal, being a heat-seeking missile, being maybe Roquan Smith, or being a pass rusher, or Vita Vea, who stuffs the run. Even if you spend a little bit of money, we've seen under Bruce, they're not going to go throw money at a problem and just solve it on the defensive line. They're not going to do that. They're going to go get another Stacy McGee or another Terrell McClain type. For them to add impact players, it has to come in the draft. See Jonathan Allen.
Mm-hmm.
If you use that pick on Baker Mayfield, the amount your defense improves this year is just not going to be as substantial.
In fact, it gets worse because your offense isn't going to be as good as a rookie quarterback goes through growing pains.
Right, but they're going to have other picks and other free agents, I think, that ultimately improve over the course of the offseason, the level of play on defense and in the running game, presumably. Let's take some calls on this next. 800-636-1067. This is not some random writer we haven't heard of saying the Redskins are going to take Baker Mayfield. This is not me just throwing out there the wacky idea that I think it's going to happen because it feels like a Dan Snyder move. This is Mel Kiper in his first-round mock a few months before the draft saying he's got Mayfield falling to the Redskins at 13. 800-636-1067. How would you react to the pick? That's what we want to know on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
From now at 1:30, Tim Bontemps of the Washington Post on what is wrong with the Wizards and why they keep losing to terrible teams. 106.7 The Fan Live is all sold out, has been for weeks. The only way into the show on January 26th at Tally Ho Theater in Leesburg is by listening to Chad Dukes versus the World each afternoon. Today at 5:20, you'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets to come to 106.7 The Fan Live. It's presented by the Purple Heart Foundation. Details are online at thefandc.com/live. How cold is it in this studio, you ask? I have not taken my winter coat off. This is a heavy winter coat.
It is heavy.
I'm still wearing it at 11:30 after getting here at like 9 a.m.
I'm still wearing my pullover. It's a cardigan, but thank you for noticing. I'm still wearing my same pullover.
Is that called a quarter zip?
I believe so. Judge's ruling, it is. We're talking, though, about Baker Mayfield and if the Redskins should draft him. Mel Kiper said in a mock draft, he goes, Washington Redskins absolutely need somebody. They're looking to drive blocker like the Brickashaw Ferguson. Then, of course, he goes on to say that they're going to draft Baker Mayfield. Third down war daddy chiming in once again on Twitter. I'm at Funny Danny. Grant is at Grant H. Paulson. How many times do we have to do this? How many QBs do we have to draft before we realize this environment is not suited for a young QB to thrive? You want the QB to help the team as a rookie, not carry it. Then the roles switch as time goes on. Yes. This has always been my philosophy.
1,000%
This has been
true.
My point. When a quarterback goes to a bad organization, somehow it doesn't work out. And we're mystified that they missed on this pick. Whereas a guy like Carson Wentz goes to Philadelphia, how in the world did he thrive and survive? What happened? What a great mystery that is. Good organizations can develop quarterbacks. Bad ones can't.
And it's not a coincidence. It's not that the Browns have been wrong every time. It's not that the Redskins have been wrong every time. Mm-hmm. It's that you do not have the culture that allows a guy to succeed, and they do. So, if David Carr, yes, David, not Derek,
thank you,
would have been drafted by a good winning team, he probably would have had a decent NFL career. If Tim Couch would have been drafted by a great team with a great situation, he might have had a better career. Just like if Joe Flacco got drafted by the Browns and not the Ravens, he might have had a worse career. If Matt Ryan wasn't a Falcon and instead he was a member of the New York Jets at that time, let's say, he might have gone the way of Mark Sanchez.
Absolutely.
Play along with me here. Name the best quarterback in football.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers sat around for 3 years and then inherited a playoff caliber team. Next best quarterback.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady game managed his way to his first title. Matter of fact, the first couple of titles, he basically was just on the field making some throws. Go back and look at the lines in the playoffs in the regular season from that year he took over.
120 yards, couple handoffs.
Bunch of 17 of 29s for 156 yards, a touchdown and a pick. That's what happened. Give me another big-time champion-level quarterback.
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees was a Charger for several years in anonymity as they were pretty pedestrian. Came to New Orleans, built something, and after several years got to the top of the mountain. Next.
Let's go down the list. Let's keep going. I'll pick another one. How about Phil Rivers?
Phil Rivers, who is still seeking one of his first titles, but came to San Diego at the time, now the Los Angeles Chargers, and has just kind of steadily improved year after year in an organization that was really good.
Sat behind Drew Brees for a year, I believe,
and then
emerged.
He sat behind Brees. Then, after sitting and watching, came to the forefront as that team was 13-3 and 14-2 and blowing out Marty Schottenheimer despite being one of the best records in the league.
And it goes on. I mean, the point stands. It's Russell
Ben
Wilson.
Ben Roethlisberger.
It's Roethlisberger.
Game managed his way to his first title. Russell Wilson handed the ball off to his first title. Do you have a culture that can make a young quarterback work or not? And the Redskins don't, because it would be up to that quarterback to win games like it was for Cousins this year. You don't have the defense to carry that guy. You don't have a running game to carry that guy, which is why, whether it's Baker Mayfield or it's Josh Rosen or it's anybody else in this class, they're probably not going to have success here if they play quickly. Let's go to Bob in Kensington. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Bob.
Guys, you're dead on today. I mean, it's a crazy notion. Why would any quarterback want to come to the Redskins? But to your point, and that's why I called in, what's the difference between Colt McCoy and Baker Mayfield? Just keep Colt McCoy, go with what we have, draft somebody that, you know, has some value on defense. That we have no running backs, no receivers. I mean, there's no reason a quarterback would want to come here. He's only going to he's not going to win here.
Well, he wouldn't have a choice, luckily. I mean, he would have to come here if you drafted him.
Right.
Now,
that.
If you're talking about free agency, that's a fair enough point.
You got to pay the tax.
I do think, however, that you could bring a quarterback in because the opportunity to work with Jay Gruden, who's had some of the better passing offenses in the league over the last 10 years, is actually a pretty good item to dangle in front of someone. That's a carrot. That is a perk. I think that's a good selling point for a guy, whether it's Bradford or Bridgewater who's looking for a starting job. Hey, here's a team that hasn't been terrible for 3 straight years. They've been in the mix. They've been to the playoffs, and there's a coach here who designs offense well and is going to make me look decent as a passer. So that helps. But as far as comping McCoy to Mayfield, they're somewhat similar in terms of being undersized. Baker's got better arm strength and is a lot younger. I mean, those would be my two big differences.
He hasn't failed out of 3 cities yet. That's the difference between Baker and Colt.
And ideally, he wouldn't get hurt every single time he had a starting job for more than a month. Corey in Clinton, what's up?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
What's up, man?
Hey, man. You guys, I'm thinking, Baker May, looking at it from this point of view, and now that we know that it's a high chance of Kirk Cousins leaving, what if Baker Mayfield does actually pan out? What if he's actually more leaning to that side of Russell Wilson? Maybe in a good offense and good receivers, maybe he can be a great quarterback. Because let's think about it. One thing about his pedigree is he competes very hard, and he cares so much about winning. Now, that's that factor that Kirk Cousins doesn't have. He loses a game, oh well.
Your phone's breaking up. Sorry, buddy.
But I also would say I completely disagree. It's again, people see temper tantrums. They see guys have histrionics. They think that means that you care. You don't prepare the way Kirk Cousins does without caring. So the idea that Cousins doesn't want to win or lacks the ability to want to win, I think is nonsense. Maybe Baker Mayfield's more competitive just in general life stuff. I can't measure that. I'm not sure how we would. I will say that, yeah, there's a possibility Baker Mayfield's good. If he goes to a good situation with good scheme and not too much on his plate. Again, if you Russell Wilson's this thing where they're willing to allow him to sort of grow into the role, then that's fine. If you expect him to be the savior week one of the first season, you're going to be sorely disappointed when it doesn't go the right way. I have no interest in Big 12 spread quarterbacks that are getting 80% of their yards via my guy's faster than your guy, gimmick bubble screens and double fake reverse type things. I got no interest in a guy that cannot wait to leave clean pockets and gunsling his way down the football field, which works in college, will not work on Sundays. I do not want to be in that game. I don't want to be in that game for a long, long time.
Cameron, Winchester, you're on Grant and Danny.
Hey, what's up, guys? You know, I just want to win football games. I know everybody says that, and I don't think Mayfield is the answer either. But if he is, then go get him. I mean, I like Kirk a lot. His stats speak for himself. Look what he did this year with, you know, pretty bad receiving for the most part. Also, I just don't want Goose to be right. I want Kirk to stay and crush it.
Well, I think all of us would prefer that they keep the guy who's played well here, and he continues to play well. I don't care if Bruce Allen's right and Dan Snyder's right ultimately because they move on and the next quarterback works. It'll be a good thing because that would mean that the Redskins are winning football games. The question becomes, can you win with Baker Mayfield, with a rookie quarterback?
No.
The amount of improvement you'll need from your supporting cast, from your defense, from your running game, across the board, to get Baker Mayfield to a level of competence around him that'll allow him to succeed is so substantial. I have a hard time believing you could pull that off in an offseason. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in before our double play next? You're listening to Grant and Danny on the Fan. Just before noon, welcoming you back. Grant Paulson, Danny Ruey, 106.7 The Fan. Beltway Blitz in about 12 minutes. Spin you around town talking Redskins and Wizards. Got some Caps thoughts coming your way later in the show as well. They're back in action tonight after a bye week. They are in New Jersey taking on the Devils, two top teams in the Metro over the last couple weeks. Critical game in terms of division play and potential playoff seedings as well. We told you we'd squeeze in your calls at 800-636-1067 ahead of our double play. Tom's been waiting in Rockville, wants to talk. Mel Kiper saying the Redskins will draft Baker Mayfield at number 13. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Yeah, another side of this really is that Kirk's probably going to go somewhere, and he's going to play really well, and there are going to be column entries written about how good he is and how he's turning whatever team he's on into a Super Bowl contender. And you have a player like Mayfield who's going to be going through rookie growing pains and what have you. That's not only going to have to contend with the pressure of being the Redskins quarterback, but he's going to immediately be compared to Kirk Cousins, and every play he makes is going to be a referendum. So not only do you not have a really good team around him, but in addition to that, he's going to have to deal with the distraction of constantly being compared to Kirk and what he's done for the organization.
True. And it's not just because of what happens with Cousins after he leaves, as you allude to. It's because, like Griffin before him, this is a very divisive issue in the fan base.
It absolutely is.
There's going to be a huge faction of fans, incorrectly, who are going to, in some ways, root against the next quarterback, probably. Just like you've got these never Kirkers who, no matter what, we got these Chris and DC types who will call in after he leads a 16-play game-winning drive to say, oh, he didn't make any good throws. It was great catches.
Somebody else did it.
He got lucky. I mean, you'll have people doing that probably against Baker Mayfield. It's this vicious cycle.
Or a guy that, because again, they're not going to win enough. And when they don't win, you invent something.
Right.
Like a couple callers ago, it's, well, he doesn't have a competitive demeanor. That's why. He's not competitive. What? How did anyone know that? Maybe he's not. Maybe he is. I can't definitively say, but
the guy that spends tens of thousands of dollars making sure he can be on the field each weekend and who spends hour upon hour upon hour being, as Jay Gruden called him, the most prepared quarterback he's ever seen, might be a little bit competitive.
Yeah, you spend money on the hyperbaric chamber and the various massage stuff, chiropractic, whatever else. You care about what you're doing. But anyway, that's the point. It's these nebulous things because you're trying to figure out why they're not winning. And the easiest person to blame is the quarterback, so that's what we get. All these different philosophies and theories, and it's got to be his fault somehow. Now, he may go to a worse situation than this one, because if it doesn't work out here, maybe it is Cleveland. Maybe he doesn't win. And those the boobs that won't just simply admit he's pretty good will somehow glean satisfaction when his team doesn't win in the next step. He might also thrive, and it'll be an excuse because, well, the organization that he's going to is better than ours. It's a very simple thing. He's pretty good, but he needs some help. I don't know why that's such a big problem for disagreement. I have no idea how we can't just get to that exact point because it's so the baseline needed for understanding in any conversation. Pretty good player. Can't do it by himself. Thanks. I'll see you guys next year.
Hey, good bit or bad bit. This guy, DC Dave, tweeted me and said, why is it that when callers disagree with you, they seem to always have phone problems? I said, I don't think that's really a thing. I just know that the guy who just disagreed with us a minute ago had his phone cutting out the entire time he was trying to talk to us. Then he goes, I'm just saying, I've been listening a long time. More often, the callers who disagree have problems. I'm cheering for the Redskins no matter who the quarterback is. I said, my response was, maybe they have bad phones and that prevents them from getting on the internet to study sports. So they have misguided opinions and bad signals.
Well, I respond that he's absolutely right. I sabotage phones when people disagree with us in a platform and medium that is based on differing opinions. That's what I do. So when Dar says something I don't like, I'm able to go short his microphone out from my fat butt seat as I sit here and spew whatever it is into the microphone. That's what I'm doing. I'm providing technical glitches for various phone plans. That's, you're on it. You've nailed it.
It is time for your boys' double play. I went to the movie theater yesterday. I saw The Post. This is the two-hour film, a biography, a drama. It's historical on the cover-up that spanned four U.S. presidents pushing the country's first female newspaper publisher and her editor to join what was an unprecedented battle in the press's fight against the government during Nixon's administration. Meryl Streep plays Kay Graham, who inherited the Washington Post when her husband died, who owned the paper.
Mm-hmm.
That family owned the paper until it was sold to Bezos, I believe, right? Just like a couple years
ago. Yeah.
Tom Hanks plays Ben Bradley, who's the paper's editor. Sarah Paulson, who's a really good actress, plays his wife. But the cast is outstanding. The acting is awesome. Alison Brie is in the movie.
She's so good.
Anytime you've got Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks kind of leading your film, you're probably going to be in a good spot. And then there are, I would say, as many as like five other actors who you would recognize in a heartbeat who have been in 15 things that you loved that were great in this movie.
My guy Bob Odenkirk is in it.
Bob Odenkirk's one of them, who by name, most people probably won't be able to pull who he was, but he was in Breaking Bad.
Saul in Breaking Bad.
Yeah, that's right. Better Call Saul.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley Whitford, who I believe played Eric in Billy Madison.
He's the bad guy in Billy Madison,
if memory serves, but he was in The West Wing. Really, really good actor. Matthew Rhys is another guy in the movie that I recognize from a couple other projects where he was really good and recent movies like Burnt with Bradley Cooper. But it was, the acting was just awesome. The writing was really good. And as a guy who loves journalism, is big, obviously we're in the broadcasting medium right now, and there's so many stark contrasts to basically the war on the media that is going on in the country, where the media is basically being scoffed at by leaders saying you can't trust these people. And this is what happens. The government doesn't like what's happening in the media, and they're going to make it their fight to try to knock the credibility of newspapers and of television networks and everything else. And without the media, we're in a bad, bad way, in a bad, bad spot. So it's a real good movie. And if you want to see some Oscar bait, a movie that's probably going to get nominated for a bunch of Academy Awards.
It feels very Oscar-y, doesn't it?
Well, I think it was basically built for an Oscar.
Right.
They're like, hey, we want to win some Oscars. How about Spielberg directs? We get Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks, and Sarah Paulson to star. And we make a movie about taking on the government as a newspaper. That's probably going to win an award or two.
Yeah, people can't wait to praise this one, I bet.
I've seen a lot of these kind of Academy Award nominated, when the nominations come out, caliber movies, Lady Bird among them. The majority of the films this year, like Three Billboards, if you saw that, they're like dark, they're sad, they're angry, they're emotional. That's like the theme this year is they want to get inside your mind and basically depress you a little bit.
Yeah.
This one is not that. It's just a little bit different off the beaten path, so I like that about it.
Nice. Let me rock a double play, Tommy. Do it quick. Headline, UK news from Yahoo. Swiss town denies passport to Dutch vegan because she is, quote, too annoying, end quote. A Dutch vegan who applied for a Swiss passport has had her application rejected because the locals found her too annoying. Nancy Holton, 42, moved to Switzerland from the Netherlands when she was 8 years old and now has children who are Swiss nationals. However, when she tried to get a Swiss passport for herself, residents of Gipf Oberfrick in the canton of Aargau rejected her application. So apparently the way they do it here, it's not a federal thing. The first layer is the locals vote on whether or not you should be included as part of their Swiss family, so to speak. There are appeals processes which she's undertaking. Ms. Holton, a vegan and animal rights activist, has campaigned against the use of cowbells in the village, and her actions have annoyed the locals. She's also protested everything that they do, whether it's hunting, the eating of meat, and whatever else. She's a vegan, and she won't shut up about being a vegan. She will not abide and get along with their local traditions. So this is kind of the issue here, in so much as She wants to be Swiss, but doesn't want to be Swiss. You see what I'm saying? She wants all the benefits,
yeah,
but doesn't want to get along with everybody else in the country. And so she whines all the time, and apparently it bothers them to the point that they were almost unanimous. Tanya Suter, the president of the local Swiss People's Party, claimed Ms. Holton has a, quote, big mouth, and the residents did not want to grant her citizenship if she annoys us and doesn't respect our traditions. Point is, loud, obnoxious vegan. She lists herself as an activist, a model, and like a couple other job titles.
Those are all your favorite things to list yourself as.
This,
did she put philanthropist on there?
She probably did at some point on a
entrepreneur
on her CV, and they don't call it a resume there. I guarantee you this is the most annoying woman of all time, and I like that she has to go through an arduous process. She'll probably get it on appeal when she goes to the federal level, but they denied her a visa, or denied her passport because she's so annoying.
We're halfway home on Grant and Danny, your Beltway Blitz on the Skins and the Wiz after a bad loss. Next, who are you rooting for to get to the Super Bowl at 12:18? You're listening to the Van.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.